Okay, well, I think as far as balance goes, then the role of a government in and how it engages with society is to strike a balance between how much does the government interfere with people's personal freedoms, as well as on the other end, how it balances out the needs of the many, and how it should govern from that perspective. And to get weighted one versus the other, it's almost like, if I use today's terms, the difference between a balance between a completely socialist, Marxist type of government balanced with a capitalistic one, which allows freedom for personal gain, incentive to be entrepreneurial, as opposed to disincentivizing people because they, no matter what they would do, the government would say, well, you're going to pay it all back in form of taxes, or you hand it over because we need to support everybody in a very expensive healthcare system.
Yeah.
The end.
Okay, before I pick on anyone else, is there anyone who wants to volunteer to talk about their word?
Chairman Mao says, speak or you die.
Yeah, of course. Yes, freedom is very important in the new society, the new Zion, especially if you're coming from lack of freedom. Freedom to make choices, your own choices. I'm trying to read into what Sharon wrote here. who's this? Oh, individual minimal government. Okay. To promote freedom. Oh,
you can finish it off.
I was just going to say critical for this country to embrace it, to set the example for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Because I think no matter what people say about America, America really sets the standards and example, and the rest of the world, as much as we're criticized, really look to us for things like freedom.
So do you think people have different ideas about what freedom is?
Absolutely.
Do you realize the main thing that the South fought for during the Civil War was what?
Freedom.
They were fighting in the name of, they all claimed, and Abraham Lincoln was musing over this one day, and he says, those people down there have a strange idea of what freedom is. In other words, they were saying, if we lose all of our slaves,
yeah, exactly.
They were saying, if we lose all of our slaves, we're not going to have nearly as much freedom. You know, because they give us a lot of freedom. We don't have to work as hard. So we're fighting for freedom. I mean, and Abraham Lincoln was examining this logic, and he says, boy, it's hard to relate to that thinking that they have done. Yeah.
Then freedom of capitalism, but that's usually to like make more money. Where really everyone in the world thirsts for like freedom of self-expression, freedom to pursue their happiness.
They're actually becoming quite capitalist in their socialist type of a way, but they don't have a lot more freedom yet. But on the other hand, because Sharon lived there for a couple of years, she probably knows a lot better than I do, but from what I'm hearing, a lot of the people are getting the idea of more personal freedom in their minds over there, and it's worrying the powers that be. How are we going to handle this? Really? We're going to have Sharon give us some details about our trip to China. I assume you're willing to cooperate, right? Yes, I'm a big disciple of Chairman Mao here, so you better do what you're told. Okay. Susan, what's your word?
Peace.
Well, we know that you can talk about that.
Peace.
We can't talk for a couple minutes about peace.
Well, peace in government means that most people are having their basic needs met. I think a lot of the countries who are not experiencing peace, it's because they're starving or they feel like they've been stopped from doing something. My husband said that on his bus in Salt Lake, every day there are more and more refugees from more and more countries coming on his bus because they are seeking the peace. A lot of them are coming from countries in Africa where they're being hunted down and killed because they belong to one race or one tribe or something else. And so when I think about peace, it's about acceptance. That we are not fighting people because of their race, their religion, their sexual preference, their level of income.
Yeah.
To me, peace is very far-reaching and very necessary, and Adam came up with a very good word.
Right. So my word that I have is minimal government, and I think
what Susan's
trying to say is it's very easy for a government, in the name of wanting to help the people, get into the people's lives so people don't get choice anymore. So I think a minimal government means just enough to be able to keep things under control, but still with enough, going back to freedom, for the people to be able to be the people that they are meant to be, and not having a dominating governmental, yield Chairman Mao kind of effect.
Yeah.
Good word.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
so Lorraine,
Jennifer, what word did you get?
Lorraine's word is self-correcting.
Self-correcting. Oh,
yeah,
that's
so
an interesting word.
Oh, is it? Oh, so
do you think,
well,
the
hopefully
society will
a
need
society,
that?
A government that's self-correcting. Good luck.
Yeah, right.
But perhaps maybe if individuals could self-correct themselves, then we would have a better society because we would know, you know, what is fair, what is right, what is peaceful individually, and, you know, and transmit that to others. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually,
here I have an observation on self-correction. We become so punitive and have so little compassion anymore that, you know, if I think that people grow up and they have damaging lives and then they grow up to damage other people. If people were constantly embraced and reaccepted, behavior would become self-correcting, you know,
yeah.
Because you seek love. But when you only get punishment, then you'll never, self-correction will never come about. Because that has to come from within, and that just comes from, like, spirits growing and evolving, so to speak. And part of it, if you're always embraced, you always come back. I think that we just have a lot less of, you know, child molesters, rape, people creating violence, if we somehow did it differently. So,
well, you know, I think... Oh, go ahead.
I think one of the keys I have here is fairness.
Well,
fairness.
That would actually fall right into place.
Well,
we have such a hard line on what we think is fair these days, and well, yeah, I agree.
We punish some people that are like the average murderer. They say only spend 7 years in prison. Yeah. Yet I read a while back about some herbal doctor prescribing something that was illegal for him to prescribe that really actually helped his patient. And he was given 20 years in jail.
Yep.
You know, I thought, wow, I mean, where's our sense of perspective here?
What about that little boy that had cancer and his parents didn't want him to go through chemotherapy?
Oh, yeah. And they were going to put his parents in jail or something, weren't they? Or, I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, one of the reasons we have more people in jail than just about any other country is we are punitive toward people that aren't really doing that much harm in many cases. Whereas the people that are really doing a lot of harm, like, say, the average murderer gets 7 years in prison. When I read that, I thought, boy, that's kind of screwy.
Yeah, we've criminalized everything, the smallest thing. So.
Yeah. Free. Did you bring your stash, Susan? What'd you say?
Yeah, the table.
Well, I was going to make one comment was that, you know, one of the things that everybody could do that would make the world go around a lot better is just to live and let live. You know, it's just that people just can't live their own lives and let their neighbor live theirs. There's quite a growing number of people that figure they got to police their neighbor, you know, and make sure that their neighbor behaves. You know, and that creates more harm in this world than anything else. And this happens with individuals, groups, societies, countries. And if we could just kind of relax a little bit and let other people be, unless for some reason they become a threat to us. You know, then if they're a threat to you, then you got to do something. But if you have a neighbor, for instance, he's smoking on his porch, and you don't like him to smoke, well, we got to get a law here that prevents him from smoking. You know, because I might smell it someday, or whatever. You know, and the people are just too busybody, aren't they? And nations are, groups are, religions are, and if we could just live and let live, just relax a little bit, take a deep breath, the world will be loved.
Can't we have such little control in our lives? We want to control other people.
Yeah.